A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a Billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a Billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Gospel Billboards. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine, thank you. My name is Daniel. Did you see one of our gospel signs?
I did. I've seen quite a few, and I've never really thought about it before.
Yes, well, do you have any particular message in mind that you saw?
Well, what was the billboard? It said that Jesus is alive. What does that mean?
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, it simply means that Jesus did live here on earth and that he gave us the example and the teachings that he wanted us to follow, and then he died and shed his blood so we could have forgiveness of sins, and then he rose again and walked on earth for another 40 days and then went back to heaven, and today he's living in heaven preparing a place for us and anyone who wants to follow him.
What was the point of him coming back for the 40 days?
To come back from life? Good question. Back in his day, and even today, people debate what is truth, and we have that in our phone number there. What is truth? What is the true religion? They had different religions back then. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what is truth. First of all, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but here's how you can prove whether I'm true or not. He said, you can put me to death, and 3 days later, I'll come back to life. And so that's exactly what happened. It was partly to prove the truth that he was the Son of God, that he is the Son of God, and co-creator with God, and also to make a way so that we could follow him and that we could be part of his kingdom here on earth.
So I have a question.
Sure.
So he obviously he died, and as formally as you can state that someone died back in the day was essentially checking pulse, checking to see if they're breathing. There has been times where someone has been unconscious or in a coma, and then they come out of it in a week, but by that point they'd already been, you know, essentially determined to be dead. And I've never really thought about it before, but couldn't it be that at the time when he was considered to be dead, which they did a number on him, but couldn't it be that he was not dead to begin with, and that he was for, you know, was it three days that he was dead? That he was dead. But he was dead the definition of death has changed over time. If you do not have a heart, we can give you a heart. If you do not have lungs, you can breathe on the iron lungs. If you do not have a pulse, we can keep you alive. The definition of death has changed. So could it not be that he was, I mean, I believe that Jesus existed, right? He was a person, but okay. I mean, I don't think that him coming, quote unquote, coming back to life in that age means a lot, I guess.
So do you believe he was a good person or not a good person?
I'm interested in debating whether or not Jesus was a good, because morality is subjective, so I don't know if
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to your question about was he dead or was he not dead? Have you looked at the evidence surrounding his crucifixion?
No, I'm as novice as it gets as far as religion goes.
Okay. Well, I encourage you to do that. The Romans were masters at killing, and they knew when a person was dead. And so when they came to those three crosses, they saw that the two beside Jesus were still alive, and they broke their legs so they would die faster. When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. And one of them took his spear and stuck it into his side, and forthwith there came pouring out blood and water. And when the two disciples, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, came, they took his body down off the cross, and he was dead. They knew what death was. And so they laid him in the grave. All the witnesses that were there and that recorded this recorded it as dead. And Jesus himself said he would be dead, but he would come back to life again.
Right.
So
we
use that. You asked about Jesus being alive. He is still alive. And he came back then. And he walked. There were lots of witnesses to that fact.
Right. I mean, I guess the reason why I bring this up is because I've been medically dead. And you can be dead for, we do not know exactly how long you can be dead for because, I mean, as advanced as we are, we don't know everything. And it's kind of like the case of, I think it was a young boy or young girl who, unfortunately, they drowned. They were not supervised and they drowned in cold water and they were, you know, they were dead they were underwater. I mean, their lungs were complete. So that's what I'm saying. I totally believe that the disciples were like, yeah, that man's dead. Like they were like, yep, he's not moving. He's not breathing. I do believe that. I understand that, but I guess I don't know. I mean, if we're saying that it's like putting all the trust in, you know, is Jesus truly God's son in the hands of the accounts of people that I don't know if I can trust, I guess. I don't know how to feel connected to God or feel that he is real or existence or in existence, I should say. I understand that faith is obviously a huge part of it, but I guess I struggle to, I don't know, I guess I'm analytical kind of.
And that's fine. We can become paralyzed. They call it paralysis by analysis too.
I've heard that a couple times. Yeah.
But going back to Jesus and the cases that you gave, your own case and the case of people that drown in cold water and they bring them back again, and these people give accounts of what they've seen when they were out of this life. There's some significant differences in those, and that is that Jesus' lifeblood was drained out of him. Now, yes, people can be put on a heart-lung machine, and they can drain that blood around, pump it back in, and keep the organs moving.
It's different. I get what you're saying. It's different. I'm just saying that the definition has changed over time. What we have considered dead 20 years ago is not dead now.
Well, there is, yes, medically, people are brought back from death experience, but not after, I don't know if they've ever done it after 3 days. In other words, to have things totally shut down without any artificial intervention.
Right.
For 3 days, that doesn't happen.
I don't know. There's a lot of things we didn't think could happen, you know, like brain transplants. But I mean, I was just curious. I was just curious to see what it was. I mean, I very much appreciate you having a very cordial conversation with someone who knows nothing about this.
Hey, well, that's fine. We're here to invite people to believe in Jesus. People are going to believe in something. They're going to believe in the devil's lies. They're going to believe and say, I don't believe in anything. I'm just going to be whatever.
Agnostic.
I'm not going to believe in agnostic. But when you examine the Bible and the truth of the Bible, there is truth there. And we invite people to that truth. And it does take faith. I wasn't there. I didn't see Jesus dead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it does take faith to believe some of these things.
Sure.
And the Bible, in fact, tells us that without faith, it's impossible.
Well, yeah, and a lack of evidence doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. I mean, we can't see air, but it's sure there. So,
and Jesus used that exact analogy when Nicodemus was talking to him. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you must be born again. And he said, what do you mean? Do I enter my mother's womb and become born again? And Jesus said, no, it's not that. He said, you need the new life through the Spirit of God coming into you. And he says, just like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. You can see the effects of wind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit evidence in a person's life. And when that evidence is there, we know that they have the Holy Spirit. They've given themselves over to Jesus. And so I can't prove it, but when the evidence is there, we believe it. And
right.
So the evidence was clearly there that Jesus came back to life, and he lived for another 40 days before he ascended to heaven. And there was at least a dozen eyewitnesses that saw him go back up into heaven. And the angel said,
right,
he's going to come again. And that's what I'm waiting for. I may die before he comes again, but I'm looking forward to the time when I can see Jesus in heaven. And I have faith that that's going to happen. And it's changed my life. It transforms my life. And hopefully, if you knew me and came and observed our lives, you would see the Holy Spirit living within our lives.
Were you raised religiously?
Yes, I was.
Gotcha.
I was raised in a Christian home, and so I've been hearing these truths all my life. It's become a part of me. But I had to make a choice, okay? Because the Bible tells us that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I had to make a choice. Am I going to follow my own way of thinking, my own way of doing, my own selfish desires, or am I going to choose Jesus' way? And I chose Jesus' way. Was I always faithful to him? I'm ashamed to say that I wasn't. But today, by faith in his promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right. Do you believe that selfishness is inherently bad?
I believe that selfishness will keep us from accepting Jesus' way of self-sacrifice and totally living for him and living for others.
Does that mean that Christianity must exist on the same plane as altruism?
Let's just say that altruism is an outgrowth of Christianity, of following Jesus. When we look at the life of Jesus and what he lived and taught, it was all about doing for others. And he used the analogy of a cross, and among many other things, but he said, I'm trying to get that verse, but anyway,
you're all right.
that we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. And that's simply that we're crucifying our own self-interest in order to follow him. Now, I still I normally eat three meals a day, and I sleep, and yes, that's self-interest in one way of thinking. But the other part of that is that the Bible teaches us that we need to take care of our body because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should not abuse that. And
right.
so So we don't smoke, we don't drink alcohol, we don't use hard drugs, except for medicine purposes, etc. And we don't fill our minds with the pornography and stuff that's out there today. Even though there are many things that are tempting to our flesh, and if I was living for self, I'd go out and partake of those things, even though sure. I know it can destroy me.
I mean, sounds like good life advice to begin with. I mean, regardless of, obviously, for you, it's very obviously your morals are very intertwined with Christianity and with God and Jesus. But I mean, I don't disagree with the followings. I guess my thing has always just been that I just don't know how to, I guess faith. Maybe I'm lacking in faith. Maybe I'm not good at this whole faith thing. Cause I mean, my family was very supportive of whatever religion I wanted to, you know, I checked out, you know, some, and I didn't find too much of an interest. And my great-grandfather, who was very, very close to, he was in World War II, and he was never religious. He told me that, you know, he was, you know, under fire and in an extremely dangerous situation. And that's where he thought he would find God, but he never did. And I don't know, I guess that accumulated with my own life experience. I mean, I've been through hell on earth, but, I never found God. I found myself, I guess.
So have you ever done a serious search? Do you have a Bible? Have you ever read the Bible and read about the life of Christ and searched in that way?
I have read some parts of it. I mean, not nearly. I mean, I'm sure it's been less than 10 pages, I'll say that.
Okay. Well, it's, I guess I would say that's not quite a fair trial, but I would like to give you a challenge, Sarah. Do you have a Bible?
I'd be happy to send you one. I do not have a Bible.
Okay. I'd be happy to send you one free of charge. We don't charge anything for our services, for our materials, or anything like that. I'd be happy to send you one. And I would like to encourage you to start reading in the book of Matthew and just open your mind to the possibility that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair to read it. And begin with the book of Matthew. There's four Gospels there, and each one tells the story of Jesus from a little different perspective. And read through those four Gospels and then continue reading about what his followers did from Acts on through to the book of Jude, and then Revelation is a special book by itself there that God gave to John. And so I'd be happy to send you that and start doing a search. I know there's a lot of people that have gone through life without Jesus in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus invites us to come and to learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart. And there we can find rest for our souls.
Well, I am interested. I mean, I've never read it, and I don't think it's – I mean, I would prefer to be educated on it, and I don't think it's entirely fair of me to – I mean, I don't really see it as a debate, but I feel like it'd be fair to at least read it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. If you want to give me an address to send it to, I'd be happy to put together an order for you.
You know what? Sure. That sounds good.
Okay. I'll get together an order. And do you have an email address? I can also email some similar things that don't have the shipping charges that way. But.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, very good. And I invite you to our website. You can go in there and look over materials, listen to CDs and things like that. It's gospelbillboards.org.
Yep, gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, I appreciate you talking to me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and we offer to pray for our callers. If you'd like me to, I'd be happy to pray for you or pray with you.
I don't think I've ever prayed.
Well, you've been very open. I appreciate that. Some callers get kind of antagonistic, so.
I'm sure they do. Not everyone is very good at having a conversation.
All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your provisions for us. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to be our Savior. Thank you for his life on earth and all the things that he did for mankind. Thank you most of all for that he was willing to give his life for our salvation. Thank you that he is now living at your right hand, interceding for us. And I thank you for today, for her call, and for her searching for truth. I pray that you will help her in that search. And as she looks into the Bible, into your message for us, that she would truly find the way to you and to your throne. And I pray that you would just help us to be faithful in following your word, and that she will find the peace and joy and fulfillment that you have promised to those who truly follow you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, yes, again, back to Jesus being alive. It's very essential. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, he said, if Jesus didn't come back to life, your faith is dead. You don't have a valid faith. And so there's lots and lots of evidence that Jesus did come back to life and didn't just die as any other person. And one of the reasons, is probably the main reason, that we follow Jesus and follow his teachings is that there is no other religion, nothing else out there that has a risen leader that came back from the dead and offers the truth that Jesus does.
Well, I do have some stuff to think about, and now I have some reading to do.
Okay. Well, it'll be, I think it takes 3 to 5 days or something like that for it to get
no back. Worries.
They're very good about getting stuff out pretty quick.
Well, all right. Well, I've got to get going, but I appreciate you talking to me.
So do you mind if I follow up after shipping, if I follow up at this number just to make sure that you get it? And if you have any more questions, we could discuss those things.
That sounds just fine.
Okay. And my extension here is 387. And I'm not always on, but you can leave me a message and I can call back.
Well, that sounds very good.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, thank you for calling. It's been a pleasure visiting with you.
Absolutely. You as well. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yes, likewise to you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt-A-Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt-A-Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.